Nehemiah chapter 4, look if you would, starting at verse 1. It says, "But it came to pass when Sanballat heard that we build the wall, he was wroth and took great indignation and mocked the Jews. And he spake before his brethren and the army of Samaria and said, What do these feeble Jews? Will they fortify themselves? Will they sacrifice? Will they make an end in a day? Will they revive the stones out of the heaps of the rubbish which are burned? Now Tobiah the Ammonite was by him, and he said, Even that which they build, if a fox go up, he shall even break down their stone wall. Hear, O our God, for we are despised, and turn their reproach upon their own head, and give them for a prey in their land of captivity. And cover not their iniquity, and let not their sin be blotted out from before thee. For they have provoked thee to anger before the builders. So build we the wall. And all the wall was joined together unto the half thereof. For the people had a mind to work. But it came to pass that when Sanballat and Tobiah and the Arabians and Ammonites and Ashdodites heard that the walls of Jerusalem were made up, that the breaches began to be stopped, then they were very wroth and conspired all of them together to come and to fight against Jerusalem and to hinder it. Nevertheless, we made our prayer unto God and set a watch against them day and night because of them. And Judah said, The strength of the bearers of burdens is decayed, and there is much rubbish, so that we are not able to build the wall. And our adversaries said, They shall not know, neither see, till we come in the midst among them and slay them and cause the work to cease. And it came to pass that when the Jews which dwelt by them came, they said unto us 10 times, For all the places whence ye shall return unto us, they will be upon you. Therefore, said I, in the lower places behind the wall, and the higher places, and I even set the people after their families with their swords, their spears, and their bows. And I looked and rose up and said unto the nobles, to the rulers, and to the rest of the people, Be not ye afraid of them. Remember the Lord, which is great and terrible. And fight for your brethren and your sons and your daughters and your wives and your houses. And it came to pass, when our enemies heard that it was known unto us, and God had brought their counsel to naught, that they returned all of us to the wall, that we returned all of us to the wall, every one of us unto his work. Let's pray. Father, we thank you this morning, Lord, again for your word, Lord, that we can study, read it, Lord, that we can learn so much from it. Lord, I'm thankful for the warnings that's in it. I'm thankful for the encouragements that's in it. I'm thankful, Lord, that the gospel is in it that shows us, Lord, how a person can know for sure that they're going to go to heaven when they die, and how the person can know for sure that they'll never spend one moment in hell. I pray if there's somebody here today, Lord, that is unsure of how it will be when they die, I pray that this morning, Lord, that they will get assurance. Lord, if they're not saved, Lord, show them that they're not saved. Lord, show them that they're a sinner, that they need to be saved. And Father, I pray that you'll just give them lots of conviction. Lord, I pray also there are Christians here today, Lord, that are going through it, Lord, that are going through many things that's going on in their lives, Lord. And certainly, Lord, everybody in here has problems this morning. Lord, I pray you'll encourage those people. I pray if there are Christians today who aren't doing right, Lord, I pray that they'll start doing right this morning. And Lord, I just pray you'll speak to all of us here this morning, Lord, through your word. Lord, help. I pray that you'll just help me not to have a stammering lips this morning, Lord. Help us to not be disturbed by anything that would disturb us this morning. Help us to focus on your word as you speak to us. And I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, the book of Nehemiah tells us of the time when the Jews had come back to rebuild the city walls of Jerusalem. And really, this book could be called a continuation of the book of Ezra. And really, up to this point, things have been going quite well. I mean, if you go back, you'll find where Nehemiah got permission from the king to come and rebuild the walls, and then they come and they start doing the work, and everything is going pretty well. The work on the walls are going smoothly, and it seems as if they're going to complete the construction, the project in record time. But then, just when everything starts to go smoothly, just when the work of the Lord is being done, Nehemiah 4:1 says, But it came to pass. But it came to pass. Now, it doesn't take long for Christians to realize that the Christian life is not always easy. Amen? It's just not. And just as sure as you make up your mind that you're going to serve the Lord and be faithful, the devil will rise up against you Just when you think that things are going smooth in your walk with the Lord, the devil will always rise up against you and try anything he can to discourage you, to make you quit.
That's right.
Now, that's what the devil wants. The devil wants Christians to quit. So he's going to try anything he can to discourage you. Now, think about this. Nehemiah is there with people, and they're building the wall. They're doing the work of the Lord. And then while they're doing the work of the Lord, some people get pretty angry about it. May I tell you, the devil is not happy when you're doing the work of the Lord.
That's right.
Amen? And so here they're doing the work of the Lord, and these people get angry about it, so they try to discourage these people. They don't want them to finish the work. They're trying to stop them. That's what the devil wants from you today. If you're saved here today, yes, you're going to heaven. And aren't you thankful you're going to heaven?
Amen.
I'm thankful that I'm going to heaven. But listen, the devil is not through with us. The devil, it isn't like the moment you got saved, he goes, okay, well, I can't do anything with him. I'm going to work on everybody else. No, he wants to work on you. He wants to make you quit serving the Lord. He does not want you in church. He does not want you praying. He does not want you reading your Bible. That's what he wants. And he wants to discourage you. Maybe you're here this morning, you say, hey, I'd like to start doing a work for the Lord. May I tell you, the devil will do anything he can to discourage you from starting. If you are serving the Lord this morning and maybe you're doing some sort of work, the devil will do anything he can to discourage you, to try to make you quit doing it. Because see, if he can stop you from doing the work of the Lord, then he can affect other people. May I tell you also this, and that is, if you're not serving the Lord and you're not living right, the devil's probably pretty much going to leave you alone, because he's got you exactly where he wants you.
That's right.
Amen? Listen, we know even as this church, the more this church preaches the truth, the more this church does things for the Lord and serves the Lord, the more the devil's going to attack it.
Yes, sir.
I mean, we would be naive to think it would be any different. Well, that's what's going on here. Here, Nehemiah, and everything's going pretty well, but then all of a sudden, these people get angry and they try to stop Nehemiah and the people from doing their work. And may I tell you, that's exactly how the devil operates. I think it was Spurgeon who made the statement, the devil never kicks a dead horse. And that's probably true. The role of the devil is to be a discourager. And the devil has a variety of tools in his arsenal, which he uses to try to hinder God's work. For example, in 2 Corinthians 2:11, we're warned of the devices of the devil. That's Christians being warned of the devices of the devil. In Ephesians 6:11, Christians are told about the wiles of the devil. In 1 Timothy 3:7, we're told again about the snares of the devil. You see, the devil's got tricks. The devil's got little traps. The devil's got, you know, these different things that he tries. And every one of them has one purpose, and that is to stop you from doing the work of the Lord, ruin your testimony, and ensnare you into something in one of his traps. And may I tell you, the devil is somewhat successful. Amen? I mean, there are a lot of Christians today that have been snared in the devil's trap. There are a lot of Christians today who are no longer serving the Lord. There are a lot of Christians today who have quit. I hope that's nobody here today. I hope that we would learn something this morning about the devil and some of his traps and the things he uses so that we could be aware of it. You'll notice there towards the end of that chapter, and we're going to get to it here in just a minute, but there towards the end of our reading this morning, you notice how the devil has those people sitting up there with their spears and their weapons and they're watching out. And Nehemiah walks around there and goes, will you fight for your families? You need to fight for your people. Stand guard. When they come, you be ready to fight. May I tell you, that's what Christians ought to be doing today.
Right.
We should be willing to fight for our families. We should be able to when this world says, hey, this is the right way of doing it, we should be able to stand up to our families and say, no, that's not the right way of doing it. We need to live according to the gospel. We need to live according to the Bible and do what God wants us to do. That's how we should be doing it. We should be willing to fight for it. We should be willing to fight for this country. Hey, listen, this country is going down the tubes morally. We need Christians that will stand up and fight for it, that will stand guard for it. When somebody says something or says something that's wrong, we should be able to stand up and say, no, that is wrong. The Bible says it's wrong. But so many people today, they're just sitting there and they're not standing there with their weapon. You know what your greatest weapon is? The Bible. It's the sword of the Spirit. In fact, when you read Ephesians 6, he gives all this armor, but there's only one weapon, and it says the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. May I tell you this, folks, as long as you're living according to that Word, as long as you're telling people according to that Word, you're on the right side. Amen? That's what we need to be doing. We need to be taking a stand. And so the devil here, He's got all these different methods and devices and strategies, and he uses them to try to keep you from being what God wants you to be and to try to get you discouraged from doing the work of the Lord. Sometimes he comes unrelentingly. Certainly everybody here has had those times where it seems like the devil's just constantly attacking you over and over and over. And you say, boy, when am I going to get a break? But the tendency is for us, when the devil starts to attack us, the tendency is for us to start getting discouraged. I've been there. I've been discouraged when the devil's attacking me. You've been there. You've been discouraged when the devil's attacking you. You ever started to do a work for the Lord and things seem to be going just smooth, and then all of a sudden something happens. You're like, man, I can't believe it. I can't believe that this happened. You know, I talk to Sunday school teachers, and things are going good inside their classrooms, and then all of a sudden some people just quit coming. And they're saying, boy, what's going on? You see, we get discouraged. I know of a young boy in this church that got saved this year. A young kid. He got saved this year. You realize he hadn't been in church since? You know what that is? The devil. The devil wants him out. Listen, folks, the devil will stop at nothing to try to discourage you. He won't stop. Now, we stop, but he won't stop. He's going to keep on coming. And you say, well, how long is he going to keep on coming? Until the Lord takes you home. He does not want you to serve the Lord. He does not want you to do anything for the Lord. He'll do anything to stop you. Now, you start doing things for the Lord, the devil will attack one way or the other. The question is, though, is when the attacks come, and they will, what are you going to do? How are you going to react? How are you going to, when the devil starts attacking you and the devil tries to discourage you, what is your first thing that you need to do? Now, we're going to look at that this morning. But we open this chapter by seeing some of the methods that the devil uses. And the first method that the devil uses, according to here, in fact, when you read the entire book of Nehemiah, you can pretty much go in any of these chapters and you will see that the devil uses different tactics all the way through. In fact, if you want to know exactly how the devil operates and some of the snares that he uses, Nehemiah might be one of the best books you can read in the Bible. Because when you see how people attack other people, the people of God doing a work, you probably can't get better than Nehemiah or Ezra. Because what you have there are two books talking about people doing the work and people against them doing the work. Amen? And so if you ever want to know exactly how the devil is going to try to attack you, certainly Ezra and Nehemiah are great books to start with. Now, if you'll notice here in Nehemiah chapter 4, verse 1, you'll notice that one of the methods that the devil uses to discourage Christians, in fact, he's used the method on you and me already, and that is he uses the method of ridicule. The method of ridicule. In Nehemiah chapter 4, look if you would at verse 1. It says, but it came to pass that when Sanballat heard that we builded the wall, he was wroth and took great indignation and mocked the Jews. This man gets all disturbed when he hears that there's a work going on. The scriptures say that he's filled with great indignation, that he mocks the Jews. And notice here that the method the devil is using to hinder Nehemiah and the people here is basically psychological warfare. He starts mocking them. It's a propaganda campaign. He's making fun and he's trying to belittle them. May I tell you that ridicule is a very effective weapon when it comes to trying to discourage Christians, especially younger Christians. Listen, younger Christians today, our young people, sometimes our young people just want to fit in so much that when there is ridicule, the first thing they do is they want to back away. The devil will try to use ridicule to try to stop any young person from serving the Lord. All it takes is one person over here to start ridiculing for being a Christian, or this person over here to start belittling them for being a Christian. And a lot of young people will walk away. May I tell you, when that happens, the devil is getting the upper hand. We ought not to walk away just because people are belittling us or just because they're ridiculing us. It, not only just young people, but other people in here. You know, when you're on your jobs and all of a sudden when people say, hey, we're going to go to the bar tonight, do you want to come? And you say, I can't, I'm a Christian. I can't do those things. I won't do those things. It wouldn't please my God to do those things. And then all of a sudden you take a stand for right and you say, I'm not going to go to the bar with you. I'm not going to do these things. And all of a sudden, you know what they do? They start ridiculing you. They start to say things, well, you think you're too good. Well, hang with us, huh? I see you're one of them Christians. And they start to belittle you. That's the devil, folks. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. Hey, listen, when those people start ridiculing you, you know who it is behind it? It's the devil. He doesn't want you serving him. He doesn't want you living right. He doesn't want you, you know, when you say, I'm not going to do that. He doesn't want other people to look at you as being different. He wants the other people to look at you as being the same as the world. Listen, the devil gets great victory when a Christian gives in and says, well, you know, I guess this one time it won't hurt. He gets great victory when that happens, because that one time that you give in, somebody's watching. And he'll do anything he can to stop you and your testimony. That's what he's doing with Nehemiah here. He's using ridicule. Look at verse 2 and 3. It says, and he spake before his brethren in the army of Samaria and said, what do these feeble Jews? Will they fortify themselves? Will they sacrifice? Will they make an end in a day? Will they revive the stones out of the heaps of the rubbish which are burned? Now Tobiah the Ammonite was by him, and he said, even that which they build, if a fox go up, he shall even break down their wall. You know what he just said? He says, these people are just, they're so ridiculous, they think that they can actually do this work. They think that they actually build this wall. Well, I bet you after they build that wall, a fox cut around the thing, the whole thing will fall over. That's what he's saying. He's belittling them. He's basically saying that they're incompetent. He's basically saying that they're nothing. They don't know what they're doing. He's making fun of them. Don't you know that really encouraged those Jews standing there? Don't you know when they heard about the things they were saying, some of those people were saying, I can't believe he said that about us. They were trying to stop them. They would try anything. They were mocking the people of God. They were making fun of the people of God. Now, when you study your Bible, you'll discover that everybody who ever did anything for the Lord in that Bible was the object of mockery, scorn, and people making fun of them. I think about David. You remember, you know, when we were, some of us, when we were little kids in Sunday school, one of my favorite stories was David and Goliath. I tell you, I think about my favorite stories in Sunday school. David and Goliath would be one. Jonah would be one. Samson was a big one. I mean, for me, I was a big Samson fan, you know. But I think about David and the story of David and Goliath. Do you realize how much David got ridiculed?
Oh, yeah.
Before, I mean, he came out there. Now think about this. Here's a young boy. He comes out there, and what you have in that scene there is you have the Philistines over there and the children of Israel over here. And they got their soldiers, and the children of Israel got their soldiers. And they're all basically a standoff. And then all of a sudden, this big old dude walks out there, it's Goliath, and he starts making fun of the army of Israel. And so he's making fun of them and everything, which, by the way, do you think that's encouraging or discouraging the children of Israel? Read the story. They were pretty discouraged. Yeah. Amen? Hey, that's what the devil does. He uses ridicule to destroy, to try to shake the people of God. That's what Goliath was doing. That's the reason the armies of Israel stand over here and they're just looking there scared to death because of one big dude. So all of a sudden, David, he walks up there. Now you would think that when David walks up there that people would say, how you doing, David? This is what's going on. But when David looks and says, hey, this big giant over here running his mouth, why are we not doing something? We're the people of God. Now you would think that these people would say, oh, he's got a good point. Let's pray and ask God to give us a victory. But that's not what happened. When David got there, his own brother started ridiculing David. It says this, his brother said, why camest thou down hither? And with whom hast thou left those few sheep in the wilderness? I know thy pride and the naughtiness of thine heart, for thou art come down that thou mightest see the battle. Ridicule. Ridicule. Also, before David went out to battle Goliath, Goliath himself ridiculed David. In 1 Samuel 17:43, it says, and the Philistine said unto David, am I a dog that thou comest to me with staves? And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. Oh, he's sitting there, he sees little David walk out there, and he goes, please, you're nothing compared to me. But here's what David said. Thou comest to me with a sword and with a spear and with a shield. But I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. This day will the Lord deliver thee in mine hand. May I tell you that David could have gotten discouraged. I think, honestly, if it had been any of us on that day, When all of a sudden we look, we come up there and our own army starts to discourage us. When we raise the question, hey, how come you're letting this guy get away with saying what he's saying about God's people? And when you say that, the first thing you do is you get your own people start to ridicule you. May I tell you, that's often the way it happens. Hey, listen, if you think for a second, if you go out there and you start witnessing to people and you tell people about Jesus Christ, you think for a second, if you were to go out there and start street preaching, that the only people you had to worry about were the lost, you got another thing coming, folks. Because I'll tell you this, you're going to get it from people who profess to be Christians more so than the lost any day in the week. You're going to get discouragement. You know who's behind that discouragement? The devil is. Even those people that are supposed to be Christians discouraging you from serving the Lord, the devil's behind that. Anytime somebody tries to discourage you from doing something for God, the devil's behind that. And so David, he gets discouragement from his own people. He gets discouragement from this big giant that's standing there that's so mighty in the eyes of men. He gets discouraged by it gets ridicule from him. But did David get discouraged? Oh no. David getting discouraged, he looked at that fellow and says, what you're bringing in this battle ain't going to cut it. Because God's against you, and he's going to deliver you in our hands. May I tell you, he didn't get discouraged, neither should you. Neither should you. The devil's going to try to discourage you. He's trying to discourage everybody in that Bible who tried to do something for the Lord. If you think about it, they even made fun of the Lord Jesus Christ when he was on this earth. You know, they made fun of the miracles of Jesus Christ, and they ridiculed him. In fact, in Luke chapter 23, verses 35 and 37, it says, and the people stood beholding, and the rulers also with them derided him, saying, he saved others, let him save himself, if he be Christ, the chosen of God. And the soldiers also mocked him, calling to him and offering him vinegar, and saying, if thou be the king of the Jews, save thyself. May I tell you this morning that the devil will use ridicule against you if you're serving the Lord. But when he does, you're in good company. Amen? Hey, they mock Jesus. They're going to mock you. By the way, the reason they're mocking you is because of Jesus. You know what? When somebody mocks us, honestly, we should say, praise God. Praise God. Hey, you know what? I got to be mocked for my Savior's sake. They mocked him, they're going to mock me. That's the way we just look at it. But you know what we do? We sometimes get mad and we retaliate. Somebody mocks us, we say, you know what? Let me tell you something, buddy. And all of a sudden we fire back. But that's not what Jesus did. That's not what Jesus did. We're going to be mocked. You're going to be mocked if you claim to be a Christian. You're going to be ridiculed if you do what the Bible tells you to do. In fact, it's getting so bad today that if you support or agree with or endorse anything that has to do with what the Bible says, you're going to be belittled. You're going to be called a hater, and you're going to be called a bigot in this world. Today across this country, there is a massive political uprising against Christianity, more so than any other time that I've ever seen since I've been living. I mean, politically, the winds of how people think is starting to turn directly against Christianity today. And if you don't believe that, listen to the news. Read the news reports. Make no mistake, those attacks are not against religion. They are against Christianity. And make no mistake that the devil and this world cannot stand for us to do the Lord's work. God's children are working for the Lord and serving the Lord and living a life that's pleasing the Lord. The devil in this world gets angry, and the devil will fight you tooth and nail. You know, one of the ways you could tell whether or not you're living right is by the opposition you face by the devil in this world. If you're living like the world, and the world for the most part will leave you alone. If you're carnal, then the devil wants you to stay carnal. And so he too will leave you alone. But when the devil tries to attack you and hinder your walk for the Lord and tries to hinder you from serving the Lord, you can bet that you're doing what the Lord wants you to do. I had a preacher a long time ago tell me, he goes, how are things going? And at the time I said, well, you know, things aren't going too well. And he goes, praise God, that means you're doing the Lord's work then. I never thought about it that way. But it's the truth. It's the truth. Hey, listen, I don't like when the devil attacks this church. I don't like when the devil attacks my family. I don't like when the devil attacks you. I don't like when the devil attacks me. But I will tell you this, if he's attacking, somebody's doing something that's displeasing him. And that's a good thing. Amen? Somebody's serving the Lord. If the devil's attacking this morning, hey, keep your chin up. You're doing good if the devil's attacking you. Just say, you know what? I must be serving God. Praise God. The devil's attacking. But here's the thing. What are you going to do when those attacks come? May I tell you, one thing you can do is remember this. And this is one thing that just keeps me going, keeps me encouraged. You know, when that Bible says that whosoever receives Jesus Christ gets everlasting life, do you realize what those words really mean? I'll tell you what those words really mean to me, and that's this. Regardless of what the devil does to me, regardless of how much ridicule this world and the devil uses against me, or against the things that I'm doing, if I'm serving the Lord, regardless of what people say, regardless of the ridicule that comes, I know this, that 1,000, well, let's say 2,000 years from right now, I'm going to be in heaven, and the devil's not. Amen? I mean, that's the way I look at it. You know, yeah, you know, he may be ridiculing me today, but you know what? It ain't going to last forever. One of these days, he's going to be in his place, and I'm going to be in heaven. Oh, and I'm going to be there forever. That's a good thing for you to think about, too. When the devil tried to discourage you, to say, you know what, this ain't all there is. This life ain't all there is. This life is short. It's like a vapor. I mean, you know, I got to tell you, this past week, it was kind of hard on me when it comes to age, because I realized that my youngest boy is going to be 17 come October. And I tell you the reason I started thinking about it, because I had a friend call me, and I don't even know why I tell you these things, but I had a friend call me this week, and he goes, hey, he goes, you ever hunted that C.M. Russell game range up there for elk? I said, yeah, boy, I sure did. I said, I hunted, there's a lot of elk up there. It's a long ways back in there, but it's a lot of elk. And I told him, I was like, you know what, at night you're not able to sleep because of all the elk bugling. And it really is a wonderful place if you want to hunt elk. It really is. But then I started thinking to myself, yeah, the last time I was up there, Caleb, my wife was expecting Caleb. In fact, I remember I had to call her from a satellite phone because there is no, you can't pick up any, your cell phone's not going to work out there. So I had to call us on a satellite phone to make sure that she wasn't in labor. Great husband that I am. To say, okay, how long can I stay out here, you know, type of thing. And I started thinking to myself, man, that's 17 years ago. I don't even know if there are any elk out there anymore. Amen? I'm starting to think to myself, I must be getting older here. Life's like a vapor. Yeah. To me, it was like yesterday. But may I tell you, when things start to go bad, when the devil starts to attack, I just say, you know what? He's attacking me today, but where's he going to be in 2,000 years? Where am I going to be? I'll tell you what, that's a good thing to keep in mind, amen? But I tell you, there's another way of handling it too that'll help you out. Look how Nehemiah handles it. When this ridicule came, he doesn't even answer the ridicule. He doesn't even respond to the questions. He just goes to the Lord in prayer. In Nehemiah chapter 4, look at verse 4. It says, "Hear, O God, hear, O our God, for we are despised and turn their reproach upon their own head, and give them for a prey in the land of captivity, and cover not their iniquity, and let not their sin be blotted out from before thee, for they have provoked thee to anger before the builders." What are we to do when this world and the devil starts to ridicule us? When they start to speak evil of us? When they start to falsely accuse us? We are to take it to the Lord in prayer. We are to take it to the Lord in prayer. Hold your place here and turn over to 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2, and Peter talks about this. As Christians, listen folks, we live in a society to where the world tells you that there are ways to react and ways not to react, but listen, we are to do what the Bible tells us to do as Christians. And don't misunderstand me. I'm not telling that anybody here should be a wimp. I'm not saying that at all. But what I am saying is there's a right way and a wrong way of doing things. When people start to ridicule you, you have a lot of options in front of you. But the Bible tells us what you're supposed to do. Now, Nehemiah there, it says that when the ridicule came, first thing he did, he started praying. Now, in 1 Peter chapter 2, look if you would, starting in verse 21, and see what Peter has to say about it. It says, "For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that we should follow in his steps." By the way, that's the reason you call yourself a Christian. If you're because you're supposed to be following in the steps of Jesus, okay? "And he suffered for us, leaving us an example that we should follow in his steps." Verse 22, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth, who when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously. You know what that just told you? That when Jesus was threatened, he didn't come back with a threat of his own, though he could have. When he was reviled, he didn't come back with reviling of his own. You know what it says he did? He committed himself to God. That's what we're supposed to do. When somebody starts to ridicule you, I'm telling you, you're going to be tempted. You're going to be tempted to fire back. You're going to be tempted to say something that you shouldn't say, you know, to try to make yourself feel better. And I will tell you, that's the reason people do it. But the Bible says you're not supposed to do that. Yes. Listen, if Jesus didn't revile back, and if he didn't threaten back, why would we? Don't you understand the world treated him a whole lot worse than the world could ever treat you? Don't you know that they mocked him more? And listen, he's the Son of God, and they mocked him. He's the Son of God, and they made fun of him. And he could have come back, and he could have said something back to him really smart. He could have said something to put him in their place. But he didn't. It says here he committed himself to him that judges righteously. That's what we're to do. When we're ridiculed and made fun of, when the devil tries to discourage us from living for the Lord Jesus Christ, just commit it to the Lord in prayer. Now, back in Nehemiah chapter 4, look at verse 6. And boy, I love this. This is one of the part I was studying this thing last night, and I'm telling you, it couldn't help but make me smile. Here they're getting ridiculed, and here they're being belittled, and these people are saying these horrible things about them. And Nehemiah, when he hears them, he don't even respond to them. He just takes it to the Lord in prayer, and then in verse 6, it says, so built we the wall. And all the wall was joined together in the half thereof, for the people had a mind to work. You know what he did? When he was being ridiculed, he took it to the Lord and just kept on working. Just kept on serving the Lord. Just say, we're just going to keep on doing it. That's what we're to do. No, the devil wants to stop you from serving him or from doing the Lord's work. The devil wants to try to discourage you. And when that discouragement comes, just take it to the Lord and keep on keeping on. Amen? That's what we're to do. And so they kept on working. And so one of the methods that the devil uses to try to get Christians to quit is ridicule. Another method that the devil uses, and boy, we see this a lot today too, and that is the method of collaboration. In Nehemiah chapter 4, look if you would, starting at verse 7. It says, but it came to pass that when Sanballat and Tobiah and the Arabians and the Ammonites and the Ashdodites heard that the walls of Jerusalem were made up and that the breaches began to be stopped, then they were very wroth and conspired all of them together to come and to fight against Jerusalem and to hinder it. Now, when you look through the entire book of Nehemiah, you'll notice that the enemy of the Jews, Sanballat, he was the one who kind of began the one being angry. He steps on the scene back there in chapter 2, verse 10. And at that time, it's just himself and Tobiah, his sidekick. So it's just basically just two people that are really angry that they're doing the work of the Lord, just the two of them. But then when you start to move over to the 19th verse of chapter 2, you'll find out that it's Sanballat, Tobiah, and a fellow by the name of Geshem. Now there's three. By the time you get to the 4th chapter and the 7th verse here, it's Sanballat, Tobiah, Geshem, the Arabians, the Ammonites, the Ashdodites, and the army of Samaria. Did you notice something there? How you had one that was angry, then there was two angry, and they started talking. Now you've got three sitting there angry, and then all of a sudden they start spreading around, and all of a sudden there are just tons of people angry that they're doing the work of the Lord. You know what that is? That's the devil there getting his people together. That's the devil there that's starting with one person who's discontent and making it spread to that person, to this person, to that person. May I tell you, that's how a lot of problems in churches start, is the devil will affect somebody's heart and get that person angry about something. You know what that person does? Rather than bring it to the pastor and getting it taken care of, what they do is they go, it starts telling somebody else inside the church. Now there's two people that's discontented. And you know what they do? They go around and they find two more people. And they start talking to them. Now there's four people discontented. You know what happens? Pretty soon, the whole church is discontented. Yes, sir. What had happened? The devil got in. May I tell you, that's the reason that Bible warns against murmuring. That's the reason that Bible warns against backbiting. Because that's the devil trying to get in. Now listen, here all it started off with just you know, a Sanballat and a couple of fellows, and now it's up to all these people. And you'll notice that the Arabians, when you look at where the Arabians were, where the Ammonites were, where the Ashdodites were, it's an amazing thing, because you'll find out that the Arabians were south of Jerusalem, the Ammonites were east of Jerusalem, the Ashdodites were west of Jerusalem, and the Samaritans were to the north. Guess what that means? That they were totally surrounded by the enemy. Totally surrounded. The enemies wanted, they had them completely surrounded. And you know, you're going to notice that when you start to do things for the Lord, it's not going to be just the lost people of this world. Like I said, it's going to be the saved people too that's going to fight you. You're going to feel like you're surrounded. Believe it or not, there will be a lot of Christians that's going to give you grief when you start to try to live right and you tell other people to live right. You know how many Christians I've had tell me in my lifetime, judge not that you be not judged? I mean, to be honest with you, I've heard it so many times that when they say judge not, I'm like, please stop. I've already heard it. Now, I tell you, that Bible says more than just Matthew. That's Matthew chapter 7. And if you keep on reading that passage, it tells you that we're to judge with righteous judgment. Yep. Amen. That Bible never tells you you're not supposed to judge things. That Bible tells you that you are supposed to judge things. That Bible says that we are to discern between that which is evil and that which is wicked and that which is good. How can you do that if you don't judge? That Bible says that he that is spiritual judgeth all things. How many of you are spiritual this morning? You should be judging things. When there are laws passed, you should look at those laws and say, that's wicked. But you know what a lot of Christians say? Well, judge not. Well, no, God's already done the judging.
That's right.
Amen? That's how people, that's how the devil tries to work. He'll get the enemy to surround you. Look at verse 9. How did they handle it? When all this collaboration was going on, when all the enemy started to surround them, by the way, today, have you ever noticed that there are just, it seems like everybody, I mean everybody, is against Christians and against people going to church and people going out door knocking and people living right. In fact, if you want to really find out how people feel about Christians, let somebody in a political figure or out in the open that's where everybody can see them, let's say somebody famous, let them stand up and say, I'm a Christian. And people immediately are like, phew. But if they stand up and they say something like something wicked, like I'm a part of this, or I believe that this is okay, or I'm a part of this lifestyle, the world says, yay, let's hear it for him for coming out of the closet.
Yeah. Yeah.
You see something wrong with that?
Preach it.
Isn't it something when somebody could get on his knees after a touchdown, people will ridicule him all day long, but when somebody gets on their knees when the national anthem is playing, they act like he's a hero? That's the world you live in, folks. Make no mistake, this world is against Christianity. And I'm telling you, the more you think about it, the more this world is going to, it's got Christians surrounded. Now, I'm not sitting here telling you that there's doom and gloom. We know how the whole book ends. We know how you read Revelation. You know how it's all going to end. We've already got the victory, amen?
Amen.
But we can get discouraged sometimes when the devil has us surrounded and we seem like there's no way we can win this thing. Well, how did Nehemiah handle it? How are we going to handle it? Well, look at verse 9. You'll feel a strange thing here. It's almost like we've already read this. It looks verse 9. Nevertheless, we made our prayer unto God and set a watch against them day and night because of them. They were completely surrounded, but you know what they did? They just kept on praying to God. They just kept on taking their problems to the Lord. They made their prayer to God and set a watch against them day and night. Watch and pray. Watch and pray. That sound familiar? It should. Because Jesus said in Mark 14:38, he says, watch ye and pray lest ye enter into temptation. The spirit truly is ready, but the flesh is weak. Watch and pray. Paul said in Ephesians 6:8, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Peter said, in 1 Peter 4:7, but the end of all things is at hand. Be ye therefore sober and watch unto prayer. Watch and pray. Watch and pray. May I tell you something, folks? That's teaching you something. I'm one of those people that cannot stand to watch the news. I'm telling you, watching the news is like a rusty fork in my back. I can't stand it because I know that within 5 minutes I'm going to get angry. And I don't like to be angry. I just don't. I like to be happy. Look at me. I look like I'd like to be happy. Amen? So that's what I like. And I know if I watch the news that I'm going to read, well, this person said this, or this person believes that, or this person, and immediately I'm thinking, oh. But you know what? That Bible says, here's what he told his people. He said this, watch and pray. Keep an eye on them, and you just keep on praying. May I tell you, I don't like watching the news, but I need to. Why? To know what's going on in the world. To see how things are progressing in the world. So I can tell you this is, look, we're getting closer. Amen? How do we know that? Look what's going on. It's exactly what the Bible said would be going on. It's happening today. What are we to do? Watch and pray. When we see this whole world has Christians surrounded and it seems like there's no way we can win this thing, they're just closing in on us, and we could get discouraged. We'd say, why in the world do I keep on wanting to be a Christian when everybody's against me? Just watch and pray. Just turn over to the Lord and just watch and pray. Oh, and by the way, keep on working. Keep on serving the Lord. That's what we're to do. That's what they did. You'll not read one time in here where they quit. Even though they tried to get them to, they wouldn't quit. They kept on building the wall. The devil uses ridicule. The devil uses collaboration. And then the third strategy the devil uses to discourage God's people, and that is he uses threats. Nehemiah chapter 4, look if you would at verse 10. And Judah said, the strength of the bearers of burdens is decayed, and there is much rubbish, so that we are not able to build the wall. And our adversary said, they shall not know, neither see, till we come in the midst among them and slay them and cause the work to cease. And what they're saying this, is we're going to sneak in, we're going to take them out. We'll stop them from doing their work. We're going to come in, we're going to take them out. Verse 12, and it came to pass that when the Jews which dwelt by them came, and they said unto us 10 times, from all places whence ye shall return unto us, they will be upon you. They threatened these people 10 times. And these people are sitting there when they hear these threats, and they kept on saying it over and over and over. These people are starting to get discouraged. They're starting to get scared. These people said, they're not going to know what hit them. We're going to hit them just when they least expect it. And to make matters worse, they said it 10 times. Now, if you listen to the news and you're going to hear threats aimed at Christians. A few years back, in Canada, there were laws made there that were restricting preachers on what they could preach and what they couldn't preach. And I remember hearing that those same things were going to happen here in the United States. And perhaps they might.
Yep.
But may I tell you that there were a lot of threats over those things. Yeah, we're going to bring those laws in the United States. We're going to stop the preachers from preaching that hate stuff in this country too. Threats. I remember one time, during election time, there were always threats against Christians who spoke up against things that some of the politicians endorse. And they threatened them when they did. There have been threats in this country to remove "In God We Trust" off our coins. Amen? Threats. How are we to handle this? When the devil starts to threaten us and tries to get us discouraged, what are we to do when the threats come? Well, in verse 13 and following, you'll see that Nehemiah gathers the people together. And the first thing he does is he encourages the people. And look what he says starting at verse 14. It says, "And I look and rose up and said unto the nobles, and to the rulers, and to the rest of the people, be not afraid of them, remember the Lord." Be not afraid of them, remember the Lord. He reminds them that God's in this thing. He reminds them that God's in the work. What an encouragement to know that if God be for us, who can be against us? What an encouragement is to know that greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. Nehemiah says when the threat comes, just remember the Lord, and he'll take care of all of it. And then notice what Nehemiah says in verse 15. "And it came to pass when our enemies heard that it was known unto us, and God brought their counsel to naught, that we returned all of us to the wall, every one of us unto the work." Think about that, folks. The devil tried ridicule. Nehemiah says, just turn it over to the Lord in prayer, keep on working. Then all of a sudden the threats came. And when the threats came, when he tried to discourage them, the next thing that he did, he said, you know what, just pray over it. Keep on working. When you start to see you're starting to be surrounded, just pray over it. Just keep on working. Just hand it over to the Lord. Oh, and when the threats come, don't listen to them. Remember God. Remember that he's greater than anybody. He's greater than the devil. Listen, folks, if God wants a work done, the devil's going to try to discourage you. But the work's going to be done. Why? The devil is not capable of defeating God on anything. I'll tell you a little story and I'm going to close. I remember when I first took the church, and when I went to Oklahoma as my first pastorate. And I hadn't been there probably a week. And things were going smooth, just like the building of the wall. And then all of a sudden, the guy comes to my office and he opens the door. And he's got a tape player in his hand. You know, one of those old ones like we all had when we were kids that had the four, the five buttons right there that would always chew up your tapes after about the third play. He had one of those. And it was his dad who was a preacher. Now, this fellow was not a member of the church. But he used to be a member of the church, but he is no longer in the church, and he's no longer serving the Lord. So he comes in there, and he goes, I want you to listen to something. And I thought, well, boy, I don't know who this guy is, but hey, I'll listen to what he has to say. So he plays it, and the whole thing is basically where a church is kicking their pastor out of that church. And I'm sitting there thinking, I don't want to hear this. I mean, how depressing. I don't hear it. And that fellow looks at me and says, after he gets done, he looks at me and goes, you're the new pastor here, right? I said, yes. He goes, what are you going to do when this happens to you? His exact words. And I'm like, whoa, that's a thing to ask. I mean, especially, well, in first pastorate. And I thought about it for a second, and I thought to myself, And here's what I told him. I said, well, you know, it's God who called me to this church. And God's in it. And if God wants me to be in this church, then there's nobody capable of getting me out. And if that does happen to me, then I'm just going to assume that that's God's will for me to leave. At that point, I'll leave. What I told him is this. It doesn't matter how much you try to discourage me. If God's in it, there's no way that you can win. Amen. Listen, folks, God is going to try to discourage you. He's going to try to get you to quit serving the Lord. He's going to try to get you to quit reading your Bible. He's going to try to get you to quit serving in the church. He's going to try to get you to stop serving God plain. And he's going to do everything he can to try to stop you from doing something for the Lord. But may I tell you something? If God's will is for you to serve the Lord, you've got the power of God behind you. And when you start to get discouraged and all of a sudden they start to ridicule you, just pray and turn it over to the Lord. Tell him all about it. Lay all your cares at his feet. Keep on serving the Lord. When you feel like you're surrounded and the devil's just closing in on you, there's no way you can win, you know what you do? Take it to the Lord and just keep on serving the Lord. And when they start to threaten you and they start to say, how are you going to react when this happens to you and you're nothing, you know what you do? Just remember that God is greater than the enemy. God's greater than the enemy. And keep on serving the Lord. Let me ask you this morning, has the devil got you discouraged? Has he ridiculed? Is the ridicule and all the collaboration and all the threats, when you watch the news, has it got you so discouraged that you're ready to quit? Don't quit. Don't quit. Because the Lord is going to give you everything that you need to finish his work. He's already given you everything. Everything that pertains to godliness, he's already given you. Just keep serving him. And the devil won't get the victory. But may I tell you, if you get discouraged and you quit, the devil got the victory. Don't let him have the victory. Amen? Let's stand.